This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Commanders have made their move. They acquire Marshawn Lattimore earlier today. And I thought we'd talk to our guest now later in the week, perhaps, as he's going to be calling the game Sunday for CBS. But I was like, who can we talk to about a defensive back move? How about Charles Davis, NFL Network, and of course CBS? He'll be with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn on the call this week. And Charles, always great to talk to you, especially when we got breaking news to talk about, my friend.
But you know, it's funny, Craig. It's not often I get called on breaking news. Usually the news breaks, everything happens, and then someone tells me about it later. So this is really kind of cool to be on the front end of something like this. But it is funny because earlier today I was asked about Washington and, you know, what kind of move to strengthen this team. And I said, corner would be the obvious first place for me. I don't think it's an original thought, but if they could get a corner and head into the last part of their schedule with another corner, and that'd be a big help for their team.
No doubt about it. And Adam Peters, who doesn't really say a whole lot to anybody, it had certainly come out that they were in the market for one, and they get arguably one of the best ones on the market in Marshawn Lattimore. The Saints obviously looking to get out of a bit of a cap situation. From the Washington side of it, like, how big is it? And this is, I think, the big thing that I want to try to understand with you, Charles, is that drop off for Benjamin St. Juice from number one down to number two corner by putting him now on number twos and letting Lattimore be a true number one that he is, and then the effect down even farther, Mikey Sanders still getting to go back into the slot. What does this do for Washington's defense?
It gets everyone in the right spot, in my humble opinion. You know, it's just one person from the outside. But Benjamin Sanders has given them everything he's got, and it's made some plays for them. He also is probably ranking in there pretty well on defensive pass interference calls. He's not a sprinter. You know, and you're going to end up getting those sprinters out there if you're dealing with wide receiver one. Not saying wide receiver two all of a sudden goes down to a bunch of slugs, but you know what I'm talking about. I think him going to two takes some pressure off. Every player wants to be one. Let's be honest about it, Craig. You know that, right?
Of course.
I want to be CB1. I want to be WR1. I want to be RB1. But deep down inside, they also know who they are. And I don't think this hurts him one bit. CB2 on a contending team in the NFL is a really good spot, considering we throw the ball 60%+ of the time. So you're going to get plenty of action. You got a legit one in Lattimore now. St. Juice is playing well for them overall, goes to two. And Samers, though, was drafted really to be a nickel. That's who he is. That's what he plays. That's why we all fell in love with him at Michigan. He gets back to his natural spot. To me, it just strengthens the team overall. It makes things easier for each player because they're in their natural place.
Charles Davis, CBS, with us. He'll be on the call this weekend, Commanders and Steelers, and joining us in response to the breaking news from earlier today that the Commanders have acquired Marshawn Lattimore. Charles, what do you make of Lattimore, the player, from your years now of watching him in New Orleans?
Always liked him a bunch. When I was working at a different network, I ended up seeing the Saints a lot more, okay? And during that time, that's when the Saints were perennial playoff teams, right? They were in the position where bad calls might have kept them from another Super Bowl appearance, you know, things of that nature. But they were playing big games, and the first playoff game I did was Saints-Eagles in New Orleans, and he had a big hand in that ballgame. Alshon Jeffrey was riding high for Philadelphia. That was the second year of Nick Folk replacing Carson Wentz, and down the stretch, Lattimore had to make plays because the ball was coming his way with Jeffrey. But he was like that throughout the entire game. He is a true cornerback one. He embraces it. He will be physical when he needs and wants to be. He can run with everyone. He just has a knack for playing the position. But he has a bigger knack for understanding what it takes to play the position down in and down out. In other words, he gets beat on a route or two, it's not going to be the end of the world for him. You know what I'm saying? He's going to come back and make the play that works. And you and I both know that you're not going on the volume of catches and things of that nature, although it's fun when you say, hey, blank this guy or only caught one ball or whatever. Will you make the play when you absolutely have to have it? And he's had a knack for doing that when things were good in New Orleans.
The thing that when I think of a current Dan Quinn, Adam Peters player, the number one trait is competitiveness. And when I think of Marshawn Lattimore, that's the number one thing I think about, from the fights to Mike Evans on down to the cleaner play, if you will. My question would be mid-season without a training camp. Like he's been a pro for a long time, a really high-level pro for a long time. I also think that like in terms of the character, I'm guessing Adam Peters made a call to Terry McLaurin and or Noah Brown, who played with him at Ohio State. Sure. Like they know who he is, but we've seen players have trouble at all positions adapting to new schemes, especially midseason. It's one of the reasons why trades are not as popular in the NFL as they are in other sports. What do you make of how Lattimore fits with what you've seen Washington do, considering you had them a couple weeks ago and are obviously studying them again this week?
Well, you bring up such good points because that's the reason, you know, football is harder to just plug in, although it's very strange, right? Week in and week out, we see guys come in with limited practice, will start and play, and you're like, how are they doing that,
right?
So you're getting people who, you know, they're going to talk you through things, right? They're going to adapt to what you did before. Hey, you call that brown, we call it blue, you know, that sort of a deal, and get them going. But as a corner, probably less to worry about adapting than in most places. Play a man, play in zone. Cover two is cover two. Cover three is cover three. Cover four is cover four. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Almost universally across the board. Now, do you have your calls where you're going to mix and match when you're doing cover six, cover eight, where it's quarters, quarters, half, or half, quarters, quarters? You know, yes, you'll have some of those, right? You'll have that, you know, hey, we'll play two catch here. But for the most part, the technique. The biggest thing is just adapting to the locker room, to the people, the meeting times. Change of city. Where am I going to live now? Is my family taken care of behind me? Those are the things that people don't think about. We just think about getting them on the field. They have a lot more going through their head than just that. But coming to play corner, we're playing man, Marshawn. Got it.
Yeah, no, that part's easy when it's one-on-one. I think the area that Washington has got this year a couple times that they're still trying to iron out, which has been way better the last 6 weeks, in fairness to them, is some of the communications in man where they have to pass stuff off. How hard is it to learn your teammates? And I mean, I know it's something that Joe Witt Jr. coaches and preaches about communication, given, received, acknowledged. He's got like 7 steps to make sure that everyone's on the same page. So I'm sure that will be preached this week, but as someone who's played with different guys in a back end of a secondary in your career, how hard is it to adapt and learn that communication on the fly in just a couple days practice?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's something that just simply is going to take time. And you hope that the issues are minimal as you learn and adapt. Now I'm going to give you something that's going to tell, there's something in my head that I think the time will be cut down, and you know why? Because he's being traded to a different city. And he's coming to a place, and he's not going to go looking for a house, right? He's not going to go and try and, you know, really adapt into any place else. He's going to go find a place to live that's going to be close to the facility, and he's going to be 24/7 ball.
Yep.
It's going to cut the time down. His friends are going to be his teammates. Now, he may have family in D.C. area. I don't know this. But for the most part, you're usually going, and it's you. So what are you going to do all day? And especially he's going to look up and say, I'm coming from a 2-7 team to a 7-2 team. He knows what winning is like. He knows what it feels like. He knows how good it is. He has a chance to do it again. It changes your whole outlook and your whole deal. So I think the learning curve will be cut down because he'll be totally immersed in it. It's like learning to speak a foreign language. You'll learn it a lot quicker if you go live in that country for a month.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Charles Davis with us for another minute here on The Hoffman Show. Nice enough to spend some time on a busy day, not only for him, but around the NFL. We got all these different deals happening, including Marshawn Lattimore to D.C. But Charles, more generally speaking, as you've obviously you had this team a couple of weeks ago. You're starting to prepare for them again. What has impressed you the most, or maybe one or two bullet points about the Commanders going 7-2, the way they've turned the franchise around, and all the things that are seemingly heading the right direction here in D.C.?
The maturity level of this whole organization. Yeah, I said it. The whole organization.
Yeah.
Because you know you covered it forever there. Never can you really put those words into the organization. Maturity. Professionalism. Doing things the right way. I think a lot of that started to change in recent years. You know, I think people have tried it. But now I think it's really starting to take root. Adam Peters is the GM, your brand new owner, obviously. Now empowering Peters as the GM. Dan Quinn's second go-round as a head coach. He hasn't changed who he is. He's still DQ. The messages are very similar that I see in Washington that I saw in Atlanta. But I think he knows how to deliver them in maybe a little bit different manner to where they might be more long-lasting, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no,
because
it does.
Because sometimes your slogans and things, you know what I'm saying, right? Sometimes they become bumper stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Those two, this is what we're doing. Well, I think this stuff is rooting in with his team. I see it in the speech of the players. Saw Jaden Daniels interview the other day, and he said it starts with the brotherhood. And I was like, "Yep, he plays for DQ." You know, yeah. but it's not cheesy for him. In fact, it's something they take pride in, and that's what you're seeing with this team. So I'm seeing that maturity, coupled with a youthful enthusiasm. And when I say youthful, I don't care if he's a 10-year vet or a rookie. They're all playing that and exuding that. They like getting to work. They like being around each other. They like playing the game. And I thought the win in New York against the Giants sent a nice message to the rest of the league about how this team approaches things. A few years ago, this team, winning the Hail Mary and going on the road the next week, they would have gotten beat. Make no mistake about it. They would have gotten beat. They wouldn't have been able to handle it. But he has a plan. He has a system. He has a way of doing things. Never deviated. And you know it by now, Craig, right? They came right in for Tell the Truth Monday.
Every single Monday.
Every single Monday. It's not going to waver. It's not going to change. And yes, we're going to tell the truth. Meaning, did you or did you not make the play? Why did you? Why did you not? Let's be honest about it. Let's not kind of tiptoe around it. We're not going to let things slide. We're not going to do that. And by the time you ramp up, when's competition? Is that Wednesday?
Competition Wednesday. Yep.
Competition Wednesday, you're going to get after it. And know what it reminds me of a little bit, although it's not quite as dramatic because you can't do it that way in the NFL. It's almost like we were back in high school. Did you have a high school wrestling team?
I was not on it, but yeah, we had it.
But you had it. You probably heard from your buddies, hey, we're wrestling off for the slot at 55 for this weekend.
Yep.
Right? Every week you had to prove yourself. You had to earn your spot. You didn't just get it and keep it for the year. Well, it's not quite as dramatic in the NFL. It doesn't work that way. But if you're teetering and someone else is coming along, it can happen. And DQ is going to keep you on your toes that way. And that team handled that Hail Mary with maturity. And yeah, it was a little more workmanlike against the Giants. Every weekend is not going to be fireworks. But they found a way to grit it out, grind it out, and make sure a team that was inferior to them did not trip them up. To me, that's very impressive.
No doubt about it. And all you have to do is look around the league, and every single week, especially division games. I mean, the amount of bad losses I saw when I was on the beat, I just hated going to New York because I just knew, like, there's this Giants team's not any good that Washington's about to play. Not that Washington was great in a lot of those years, but knew that was a house of horrors. And they went in there, they did their thing, they came home, they got the dub, and then they're preparing for Pittsburgh. And that's where Charles, you'll probably hear him next Sunday on your television, Commanders Steelers, 1 o'clock on CBS. Charles, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for your time and perspective, and I'll see you Sunday in the booth.
I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks for having me on. You know, this is exciting times. Not when you're dealing a player like Lattimore in New Orleans. It's not exciting. That means you know things aren't going well, and here's the rebuild. But when you're in the hunt and you're trading for players of that caliber, you're telling your fan base, we believe in this team, and we believe we can do big things. And I think that's pretty cool.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Charles.
Charles, be good.
We'll do our best. We'll do our best. Charles Davis, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Coming up next, more reaction on the Marshawn Lattimore trade. In fact, let's take some of your calls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 as part of Vibe Check Tuesday. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Our NFL tier rankings post-trade deadline. It's 6:30. Right now, though, let's get a little bit of added expertise thanks to our friends down the hall at Grant and Danny. Jeff Norwalk, who covers the Saints on earlier. He's the sideline reporter on the Saints Radio Network, a fine Odyssey production. And G&D asked Jeff whether or first of all, is Marshawn Lattimore still kind of in the prime of his career? And then they also asked him about how he fits here in D.C. Let's hear the answer first, though, if we could, on whether or not Marshawn Lattimore, who, if you were just tuning in, it was acquired earlier today, the four-time Pro Bowler acquired from New Orleans with a fifth-rounder for a third, a fourth, and a sixth. So is he still a premier lockdown number one corner?
Oh, I think so. I think so. He's 28 years old. And he was playing really well. When he's been on the field this season, he's been really good. He's kind of a true outside corner. He's the guy that you know, the Saints haven't really shadowed much the last couple of years. But, you know, the matchups with Mike Evans and the Bucks were always kind of appointment viewing because he's the type of guy that you say, okay, this is their star wide receiver. He's going to follow him around the field. He's going to shut him down. And he can still do that. Now, the Saints kind of went away from that a little bit this last year. They felt good about Paulson and Adebo, and they started playing sides a lot more. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best case scenario for Marshawn. He's the kind of guy that is at his best when he can really kind of lock in, sink his teeth into a matchup and frustrate that guy, take that guy away. And he's probably as good as anyone in the NFL at doing that. He's a man corner. He's a guy that you want to go to if you're just going to lock up on the outside. He's not a guy you want to throw into zone. And I think he can get lost a little bit in coverage when you don't have that kind of physical man matchup. But I haven't really seen a drop-off when he's been healthy. The problem is he's missed a lot of games over the last few years. And when you're not on the field, it doesn't matter how good you are. So, I think that it all comes down to health with him. But I do think when he is out there, he is still that kind of top five man cover corner that every team wants.
Good to know. Very important. This is also why I will say this. The investment that Adam Peters and really above Adam Peters, the investment that Josh Harris has made in all the medical stuff and all these little things. I mean, in the interview that we just had with Charles Davis, Charles talked about, man, if I was Marshawn, like, I want to know, is my family taken care of? Like, that's one of the things I want to not have to worry about as I make this transition, right? The Commanders now are top of the league in taking care of families and making sure that the little things are taken care of so their guys can just focus on football and make sure that their families are taken care of. It's not a, hey, we're just doing this so you can be a football guy and screw your family. Like, they're over here, they're fine. It's not like a hostage situation. They provide the types of things that they can to make sure that at games, practices, events, like, it has the family atmosphere. And so these little things that seem like little things are actually huge things, because whatever the logistics of getting Marshawn Lattimore a place to live, whatever his family needs to get up here, you know that Adam Peters and Josh Harris are going to do what they need to do to get that stuff done. He can then focus on learning the playbook. Then if he's got, hamstring rehab stuff that he's been working on, they'll take a look at the program. If they like it, they'll have him finish it out and he'll be back on the field ASAP, probably this weekend. If not, they'll get it fixed and they'll be the best of the best, because that's who they are. That's what they want to be. All these little things add up in a major way. And so that is something to watch for sure. And not saying that this prevents hamstring injuries. Hamstring injuries are terrible. It's a super finicky muscle. The muscle fibers are finely woven and they are a pain in the ass. Actually slightly below the ass, but that was an anatomy joke, Anthony.
Yeah, I got it.
Excellent. Anthony also knows where his hamstring is. Unfortunately for Anthony, it's because he's had a hamstring issue. Anyway, the point is, how's the scheme fit for Marshawn Lattimore? Here's Jeff Norwalk again.
I mean, like I said, I think he's a guy that you can just say, hey, that's their top receiver. Go take him away. Follow him around the field. Shadow him around. He's not a guy who plays in the slot. So that's what you've kind of seen, when Marshawn is at his best, you'll see teams kind of shift, their top receiver into the slot to get away from him. He's not going to follow a guy into the slot. It's entirely possible that he would be at home in the slot. We just haven't seen the Saints do it. But no, he's going to be an outside guy. He fits best in a scheme that's going to play a lot of man-to-man on the outside, and that's what the Saints have done throughout the course of his career. I've never been particularly impressed with him when you've tried to go into zone. He's also a guy that, when there isn't that elite receiver matchup, I think that he's the type of player that really kind of locks in when he feels like there's a matchup worthy of his attention. When you go up against a team that really doesn't have that true number one receiver, I remember a game against the Giants a couple of years ago where it was like, I guess I'll cover Sterling Shepard. I guess I'll cover John Ross. And he kind of got lost in that matchup. And I think that's where he can be a little frustrating, because it doesn't always feel like you're getting top end Marshawn Lattimore effort when you're not going against a Mike Evans or even like a Nico Collins last year, kind of took him for a ride. So, I don't know. It's tough. And I don't know exactly what the Commander's scheme is. The Saints are going to face it later this year. So he's going to get a chance to go against the Saints. And I'm sure he'll be circling that matchup on his calendar. But that's what it is. Like, he's the type of guy that you can trust on the outside. You can put him on an island and feel like you don't have to roll help his way. And when you can do that as a defense, it opens up a ton for you in terms of what you can do with your safeties, what you can do with your linebackers. You can send a lot more pressure on the quarterback, because you don't have to worry about, putting a safety over the top. So I think that's where, if you're using him correctly, that's what it is.
Jeff Norwalk, again, the sideline reporter on the Saints Radio Network with Grant and Danny over on 106.7 The Fan earlier today. And that last point is so important. I think Quinn and Witt want to play a lot more man, and they haven't been able to because of the struggles that they've had man-to-man and also passing off things in man-to-man coverage. They've just been a better zone team this year. But Mina Kimes literally just tweeted this. I just saw this from Mina. Like, this is probably helps that scheme get where they want to go. where now halfway through the season, a defense that has been steadily improving and improving and improving, and the pressure has been getting better and better and better, can now crank it up another level. And I don't know whether that's something that happens instantly, whether that's something that happens slowly over time, whether it's a morphing, whether Lattimore comes in and just crushes his own responsibilities and they keep on doing what they're doing. But he's good enough that you can try multiple things. And that is always kind of been the beauty of how this team is built from a variability standpoint. I think that's something that Adam, probably even going back to his New England days, takes away from how Belichick used to do things, is we want to be able to do what the other team's bad at. And they have built a very versatile team that hopefully can accomplish just that. And Marshawn Lattimore is a nice piece to assist. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up next, we rank every single team in the NFL in our weekly NFL tier rankings. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, and this will be our last segment of the show because we got Talking Terps coming up at 7 o'clock, and it's going to take us a second to get through our NFL tier. So we're just going to roll through here. This will be the last second. Anthony, do we have real things that we want to hit at the end as well? Should we save some time? I don't know what's in the folder today.
We got one thing from yesterday.
Is it like a must hit, or is it a if we have time, let's get it?
USC thing? South Carolina?
I don't know the sound you're referencing.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
It's about a minute and 10 seconds long. It's real good.
Okay, so we'll try to sneak that in at the end of the show. So this is, we'll be with you for about another 20 minutes here. And in those 20 minutes, we're going to rank every single team in the NFL. We do it every single week. Typically, we do it at 6 o'clock, but with Charles Davis joining us at that time, we're going to do it now at 6:30. And we thought it was a good time to do it at the very end of the show, because we get full post-trade deadline version of all of these teams. So without further ado, it is time for our NFL tiers. Four categories: prime contenders, which is a team that we would not be surprised to see in the Super Bowl. Puncher's chance, probably making the playoffs. Something would have to change for them to make the Super Bowl. Interesting, but not quite good enough. Capping out at playoffs, but probably not even there. And then no chance in hell, which is, well, you get it. All right, so Anthony, let's start at the top. The Kansas City Chiefs, all they do is win, 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 no matter what, whether it takes overtime. By the way, because of everything that's happened today, I haven't had a chance to mention this yet. They win last night in overtime on a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt. That touchdown was a walk-off against me in fantasy, too.
Greg, you want to know what's crazy? You're what? Not the only person that lost the Kareem Hunt on the walk-off TD.
If it's anybody else, I lost 116-109.
Oh, my gosh. Your loss isn't as devastating as my fret brother's. He lost by .02.
Oh.
Because of the walk-off touchdown.
He needs to play in a less specific league.
Oh, my God.
Then at least he probably would have lost by one whole point.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, I lost by...
Yeah, that touchdown hurt.
By that touchdown. Not cool.
Not the life you deserve, man.
No, not the life I deserve. But the Chiefs are still undefeated. They've obviously brought in DeAndre Hopkins now. They've continued to solidify their team. They brought in the pass rusher from New England. They're obviously staying up the top. They're prime contenders. Ravens, never a doubt, back into it. I mean, Denver defense, Ant, legitimately has been one of the best all year. Like, yeah, they've beaten up on some bad teams, but they have just absolutely destroyed every offense in their path until they ran up against Baltimore. And it was like a train that had just been going, and then some other larger version of a train just ran over and flattened it coming down the tracks the other way. That's the Baltimore Ravens. They wrecked the Broncos. They are obviously a prime contender despite what happened 2 weeks ago against the Browns.
Yeah, not a fair team. Again, we mentioned it yesterday. Lamar, another perfect passer rating. The fourth of his young career. But the Ravens, it's just not fair, dog. They can beat you via Lamar running, Lamar passing, and then you also have Derrick Henry who can run, and then the defense. Defense still has some things to figure out, which is why I was surprised Jadeveon Clowney, I thought they would have more so been linked to one another just because he had a lot of success there last year. But they go get Trey White. Trey White. I hope that helps. But
I don't know how much that helps. I mean, I don't know how much they need help. Like, I know, obviously, they think they can do a little bit better at corner, but, like, Tre'Davious White has not been a premier corner for basically since he hurt his knee.
Yes,
like, since 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. I mean, who knows? Dudes, they always have one old dude in Baltimore who plays way better. Last year, it was Clowney. This year, so far, it's been Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
Maybe Van Noy will be like, I don't know. I don't know if the pass rush needs any extra help. Let's just, Trey White, I'm going to take off the secret underwear and give it to you. Just put them on, and yeah, your knee will be better. I don't know why I made it secret underwear. I just tried to think of something that that we couldn't see.
I think, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe
it's like,
not.
It's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants, but very much not.
How would you beat the Ravens? Would you try to outscore these guys?
Well, yes, Anthony, I would try to have more points on the scoreboard.
Obviously, I'm just saying.
I know, you're talking about like game flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I probably would. Like, I would do what the Commanders did, which is try to stop the run and make Lamar beat you with the pass. The problem is, like, Lamar is good enough that you're just, like, you're picking a terrible option. But it is certain death, which is giving up 300 yards rushing to Henry and Lamar combined. Yeah. Or maybe Lamar has a bad day, which, or the receivers drop it, or their pass pros, like, none of them are good options. Lamar has arguably been one of the best, if not the best, pocket passer in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. There are no good options. So, yeah, I guess try to score 100 points.
Yeah. Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't know. I truly, honestly, they've lost two really weird games. But for my money, they're the best team in football.
Yeah.
That's the team that if I have to win a game, I least want to see them on the other side. The second is probably the Detroit Lions. They are very clearly prime contenders as well. They dismantled the Packers early on in that game and then ultimately hold on near the end. We'll see how much the Za'Darius Smith addition adds, but they're clearly prime contenders. Then you get to the three teams that we added last week that I think are very, very interesting to look at because are they on the same level as the three teams we just mentioned? Not consistently, but have they arrived at that point? Well, one, I think definitely has. The Buffalo Bills, they found a way. Their defense, I think still there's some questions. But Amari Cooper missed that game. If they can get him back, how does that change their offense over the long term? So they beat Miami 30-27, you know, and we'll see what goes. But they won. And it's a division game. You win a division game, I'm not moving you anywhere. Buffalo Bills, still prime contender?
Yeah.
Okay.
No question.
And then, are we going to asterisk these two teams? Which, I kind of think we don't, and we see how it plays out, but they're playing each other. And it's Washington. And it's Pittsburgh. I think that this is a very interesting matchup because I think Pittsburgh does a few things that give me pause for Washington. They run the football really, really well. And some of their defensive pressure packages give me a little bit of heebie-jeebies because they're just different in the way that they attack compared to some other teams like the Giants. Now, they might be similar enough to the Giants stylistically. You know, Mitch was saying that earlier. I don't know that I fully agree, in part just because I haven't watched a ton of the Steelers yet. I need to watch them tomorrow, and then Logan and I will do the preview pod on Thursday, and I'll have a much better sense of it. But I haven't watched them like all 22 style yet. But if they're similar to the way the Giants did it, well, the Commanders seem to have a very good plan for that. If they do some different stuff, and TJ Watt's obviously the best player that they'll have played this year, then, oh, I guess Myles Garrett, he wasn't fully healthy for the Cleveland game. But point is, like, they're going to have a plan for TJ Watt, and they've got dudes on the back end. And so if Pittsburgh comes out and does very specific things to Washington, I don't necessarily want to knock Washington out. And by the same token, there's a way that Washington beats Pittsburgh that I go, no, those are two even teams that belong on the same level, and one of them just won on this particular day. I do think if it's a blowout either way, the team that loses has to go down. I think that's fairly obvious.
Yeah, I think a blowout definitely moves you down. But I think in terms of whether if Washington loses a close one, I still don't think we go down because, again, our road to the playoffs or our road to the Super Bowl is a little bit more easier than that of the Steelers, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. There are four juggernauts over there. And in the NFC, we don't really have that many teams that are like as dominant as the Detroit Lions, or you know, have looked as good as the Commanders. I mean, you got the Packers, who we've considered. We got the Vikings as well. The Eagles are sort of kind of finding that group, but AJ just got hurt. And then the Rams with, you know, with their guys, they do concern me a little bit. But I'm just saying, in terms of the AFC and NFC, our road is a little bit easier than those teams over there on that.
No doubt. The NFC is way, way easier. It just is. But again, I'm trying to like, and I guess if the definition is would they wind up in the Super Bowl, like, are we really just going to leave Detroit and be like, if it's anybody but Detroit, probably not. So I think by definition, we need to find someone else to be in prime contenders. And the Commanders are the rightful two seed that belong up there right now. And Pittsburgh, same thing. I would say if Pittsburgh comes out and Washington's able to pass all over them in the way that they passed on a lot of other teams, then I might have to push Pittsburgh out. Because I just don't know that you can survive against the best of the best that way. Yeah. But week in, week out, I think the thing that's interesting, and I'm excited to talk about this tomorrow with Patrick Peterson. Pat P and Logan and I are going to tape something in the morning. We'll play it for you here on the radio in the afternoon. Will Blackman also, by the way, is going to join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock right off the top of the show. So plenty of DB coverage tomorrow on the Lattimore trade. But both those guys have played for winning coaches. And for Pat specifically, he was with Pittsburgh last year. Like, there's a professionalism and a handle our business element to the Pittsburgh Steelers that is very reminiscent of what Dan Quinn has here. And so I think this is a great matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to talk about it more later in the week. And obviously, there's a ton of new pieces, too. Lattimore here, Preston Smith, and Mike Williams there. So it should be a lot of fun. But I think all of those teams stay in prime contenders. All right, puncher's chance, Anthony. Packers, Vikings, Texans, Eagles, Falcons, Rams, all in. The Vikings won. The Packers won. Texans were on a bye, right?
Packers lost.
I mean, Packers lost. That's what I meant. The Texans were on a bye after their disaster last week. Yeah.
No, they lost.
Oh, no, they lost
football.
That's right. I was like, they definitely didn't play Sunday. They lost to the Jets.
Yep.
Ooh. How much? Okay. So Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, Rams. Any of those do we need to talk about?
Say that one more time.
The teams that won.
Okay.
The Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, Rams. Any of those teams that we need to talk about going up?
No, we just love the momentum that they have, though.
I agree with that. I think the Falcons still, I don't trust them. Nope. I think the Rams, like,
a little bit more to prove.
Yeah, if they can keep everybody on the field for like four straight weeks from both injuries and punching people and getting rejected, that would be cool. The Eagles, if they win their next two, which would include the Commanders on Thursday night, 10 days from now.
Yep.
We got to have a different conversation about the Eagles. At that point, you're back. But they also let the Jags back into that game. So I think they're perfectly fine right where they are. And I think the Vikings, too many turnovers. It was way harder than it should have been. I still don't know that I trust Sam Darnold fully. He's got to have more consistency with fewer turnovers for me to move them back up.
Yep.
And or the defense needs to have a lot more dominant performances. And they were obviously very good, turned Indy over and did their thing. All right, so the Packers. I still think they're very puncher's chancy. I know that they didn't play well in that first quarter. They gave up 17 in the second quarter to the Giants. Or sorry, in the first half. Gave up 17 in the second quarter to the Lions. I think I said the Giants. I meant the Lions. And then they're feisty in the fourth quarter and make it a little bit closer cosmetically. I don't know what to do with them because I don't know what the hell Jordan Love is week to week. This hurt version of him is not good enough. That they should be down. But I also think LaFleur is like arguably the best offensive coach in the league. He's been incredible. They find ways to create stuff. And against not the Lions, then I think they're going to be okay. So I kind of think they still belong here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they belong here as well. I think they've gotten away from what worked for them last season where they were leaning heavily on the run game. Yes, you have Jordan Love. Yes, we know he is a good young quarterback. But I think you got to stick to your gun, especially against the Lions. Josh Jacobs only had 13 carries. Like, I think he needs more than that. And I think closer to the playoffs, we already know, like, if you can run the ball in the playoffs, you'll be good. So I guess people aren't necessarily in that rhythm just yet. So I think closer to the playoffs, I think they'll be a little bit scarier.
I think I'm going to star him.
Okay.
Asterisk means, hey, if you don't look good again,
nope.
Good night. You're going down. But they can stay up.
All right.
Houston Texans. The only reason we don't move them down,
man,
would be that Nico Collins is coming back.
This week?
They've got a bye, and then okay. He's probably coming back after the bye. I think that is correct. Actually, they might be playing this week. Hold on. Let me look that up real quick. Either way, I almost want to move them down on principle because they lost to the Jets.
Yeah, I think that was a bad loss, but I think what we saw from the Houston...
Actually, you want to know what? Sorry to cut you off. They're Sunday Night Football against the Lions this weekend. We're going to learn about the Houston Texans this weekend.
They about to get spanked.
If they get spanked, then they're going to go down.
They're getting spanked, Craig.
I will pick them to get spanked. If they get spanked, they're going down. We can preemptively move them down and say it's punishment for losing to the Jets, or we can just wait.
I think let's just wait.
Okay.
Let's give them a fair shake.
A little asterisk there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we had a couple teams in our next category down that we had put the old carrot, the up arrow next to. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about them as we're doing our NFL tier rankings here on the Hoffman Show. The Chargers, they handled their business. We said if they look really good and they continue to roll, I know they didn't have a very good opponent, but they did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They go up. I think the Chargers, welcome to Puncher's Chance, Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
Nice to see you again.
Well,
both LA teams.
Check them out. I like the Chargers. I like what they're doing. Herbert also, his ankle's healing. He's moving a little bit better. So they're definitely a team to watch out for.
So the other team that we had the asterisk next to, or the carrot, the up arrow, the watch for this team, if they win, we might have to move them up, is the first place in the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, who became the first team in 13 weeks to put 20-plus points on the Chicago Bears. Kyler's playing good ball, dude. Like, could the Cardinals get in the playoffs and do something funky? Like, they're a pain in the butt to play. I know the Commanders smashed them, so everyone that's a Commanders fan is like, they suck. The Commanders, that said more about Washington than it did Arizona. They have rebounded very well. They are on top of their division. I think they belong in Puncher's Chance. They smoked the Rams, who we have there.
Yeah. They look, but I can't wait for them. They beat the Rams?
Earlier in the season, they did.
Let's put them up.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to come down to those two teams for the NFC West now.
I think if you're a division leader at this point in the season, like, you kind of belong in that top echelon. All right. Interesting, but not quite good enough. The rest of them. Who goes down? Who goes to booty land, and then who stays up? We move through these quick. The Bears, I think they stay for now, but they are on the verge of total collapse. The Seahawks, they get to stay. They're right where they belong. The Bucks, I feel so bad for the Bucks. I want to put them back up. They're just too injured. The Niners.
Nah, we're keeping them there.
Okay, we're going to keep them there for right now. The Broncos, they got smashed. You're where you belong.
Yep.
The Colts. Yikes.
Still middle of the road.
Bengals. Nice job, Bengals. Bengals, all your asterisks disappear. You get to stay where you are.
Yep.
The Dolphins.
Ooh.
They're off it. Tua only had 3 incompletions.
Yeah, let's keep them there.
Let's keep them. They're interesting, but not good. The Cowboys?
They can go down because Dak is out. CD is banged up. And we'll see those boys in 3 weeks. Count your days.
We want Dallas. And then, last but not least, Anthony, the Cleveland Browns. Welcome back to Poop Town.
Hate to see it.
We saved you a seat.
Yep.
We kind of knew you'd be headed back. They joined the Raiders. Stay. Jags. Stay. Patriots. Stay. Panthers. Stay. Titans. Sorry, you needed overtime to defeat the Patriots. Stay. The Giants and the Saints and the Jets. Sorry, Jets, you beat the Texans. I'm still leaving you in Poop Town for now. You need to win again one more time. That's it. Those are NFL tier rankings. Read them and weep. We'll do them again next Tuesday, probably at 6 o'clock, barring breaking news like we had today. Tomorrow, more coverage of the Marshawn Lattimore trade. Of course, you'll hear from Dan Quinn in our pick 6 at 6. Adam Peters, I think, might speak tomorrow as well, so we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. And then Will Blackman joins us right on 4 o'clock. Patrick Peterson in the show as well. We'll be loaded up on a Wednesday. Terps Talk with Brenda Fries is next here on the Team 980. This has been The Hoffman Show.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.